The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. I'm just reading about the new D-City Mall that is expected to open within the next few weeks, just outside of Maale Adumim, which is on the outskirts of Jerusalem. This is a mall that has been built in the desert, effectively. And it is styled along the same style as the Venice Hotel in Las Vegas. It's got this piazza kind of design, and apparently it's going to have something like 200 shops, luxury hotel, an artificial indoor sky, a forum for designers. There is also going to be a place for concerts, a massive indoor amusement park, and other restaurants and leisure activities, all just on the outskirts of Jerusalem, outside of Maale Adumim.
Amazing.
It is quite amazing. And it's just interesting to understand who might be the target market who will go along there. I mean, guessing that they're expecting people to come from far and wide to visit the mall, not necessarily just rely on the local clientele of Maale Adumim, and even probably not even only Jerusalem, but apparently it conjures up images of Venice and Las Vegas and Disneyland all at the same time. Apparently rental prices for commercial space are relatively low in order to try to attract people. This is all the idea of a Haredi person by the name of Hanoch Kass, the Kass Group, done a number of similar developments elsewhere. This is going to be quite interesting.
And I think it sounds absolutely awesome. Also, before we chat about some of the other stories, any more information about this explosion in Dubai last evening?
So we know that there was some sort of an incident that took place in the port of Dubai. Apparently, there was a fire on a ship. The initial reports that I saw suggested that there was an explosion, the explosion was described as a normal accident. I don't know what that means. Apparently, it was in a container holding flammable material. More than that, we don't really know, other than that the fire was fought locally. There were no casualties or injuries. We don't even know which ship was involved in this particular incident. But obviously, you know, being the cynical, inquiring, suspicious minds that we are, just kind of trying to put two and two together, and wondering whether this might not be another round of this ongoing maritime battle between Israel and Iran, or so we're told, Israeli ships being attacked, Iranian ships being attacked out at sea, this time in the port of Dubai, Jebel Ali port. More than that, we don't really know. It seems to have been brought under control, the actual incident itself. But what the politics might be behind it is difficult to know. If any, because apparently the Dubai police are saying that this may have just been caused by friction or high summer temperatures during this time of the year. But apparently the explosion was seen for quite some distance. People from about 20 kilometers away reporting that they'd seen the explosion. And so, of course, there was some suspicion about it, but we don't really know much more than that.
On that subject, we don't even know if it's on the subject, but around maritime, the Israeli Navy has ordered 4 new fast-class patrol boats.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great story, not only because, obviously, the Navy is expanding its capability, and especially with these zippy little control boats, the fast boats, patrol boats that we see sometimes around our shores, but also because we understand that the threat from the sea is becoming greater. And that is not only because Israel's longest border is actually the maritime border, both on the west coast and, of course, down south near to Eilat. If you take that all together, then that border is longer than any of the other single land borders. And relatively speaking, the Israeli Navy is a small part of the security setup of the security establishment. And it's been beefed up in recent months and years in order to not only cope with the a threat that comes from the maritime border, but also because of this burgeoning industry that we have offshore with all of these oil and gas platforms that have now been stationed off Israel's coast, and of course a part of our national security assets that Israel has. This has become a very important part of our economy, and we understand that there is quite a significant security effort that goes in to protecting those offshore platforms. But the nice thing about this particular order of four new patrol boats is that they're actually being home built. The order has been placed with Israel shipyards in Haifa, and they're going to be the ones who will build these four Shaldag patrol boats, and will deliver them at a cost of approximately 100 million shekels. It equates to around $30 million, and we're told that the ships themselves, the boats themselves, are designed for a crew of between 10 and 14. They can carry various payloads, including 25mm Typhoon automatic guns. They can carry mini Typhoon heavy machine guns, and they can also carry 8 short-range anti-ship missiles. So they're going to be quite not only zippy in terms of the fact that they can move around offshore quite quickly, but also they're going to carry some punch in terms of the power that they can carry on board if they need to be used. And we understand that these boats are also being used by other navies around the world, including the Philippines, Argentina, Sri Lanka, Senegal, and Nigeria. But these are really going to be some state-of-the-art, very, very high professional patrol boats. We don't know exactly when they're due to be delivered, but nonetheless, this is just another step along the path of the Israeli Navy really expanding its capability and updating the type of equipment that it's using.
What kind of a reputation does the Israeli Navy have? You know, we don't hear a lot about it. We always hear about the Tzanchanim, and we hear about all of these other areas. We don't hear much about the Navy.
We don't hear much about the Navy, and I think it would be safe to say that a lot of what the Navy does is very much under the radar, because by definition, it's being conducted away from Israel's borders. I mean, even though there are patrols obviously within Israel's area within the border, you know, the maritime border that Israel has, particularly off the Mediterranean and indeed in the Red Sea as well. But the bits about the Israeli Navy that we don't hear a lot about is what they do beyond Israel's territorial waters. From what I've gathered from little bits and pieces that I've heard under the radar, there is a lot of activity that goes on undertaken by the Israeli Navy, which is quite far from Israel's borders. As one Navy personnel member once said to me, I visited more countries than my passport indicates. So we understand that there are a great deal of activities that are being taken, undertaken offshore. And of course, we can link it to this ongoing battle that we understand takes place between Iran and Israel in international waters. And we're guessing, or I'm guessing at least, that the Israeli Navy needs to be involved at least in some of those activities.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Let's just talk about COVID. What is happening in Israel with regard to the Delta variant?
Well, the Israeli coronavirus cabinet did meet yesterday. They didn't make any massive changes to the current setup. What they did decide was that travelers who arrive in Israel from abroad will need to go into quarantine at least until their test result is known. When travelers arrive in Israel, whether they be non-Israeli citizens or indeed Israeli citizens, the first thing that they're obliged to do as you come in through the arrivals area at the airport is to be administered a PCR test. You have to undergo a corona test before you're allowed to leave the area of the airport. The result of that test is generally known within 24 hours after you've arrived. And so the new rule that the coronavirus cabinet decided upon yesterday is that as soon as you leave the airport, you're obliged to go into quarantine until such time as the results of your test are known. If you come back with a negative test, you're free to go about your daily business. Of course, those people who are tested positive will then be required to undertake the usual activities, quarantining and so on, that is required for people who have been tested positive. In addition to that, there will be antigen tests that will be performed at summer camps and summer programs for children, as well as the entrance of nursing homes. So that's also a new piece of testing process that's being implemented in order to try to prevent the outbreak, the further spread of the Delta variant. The latest number of new cases that have been identified is now exceeding 500 on a daily basis. So we went from a few 10 or 20 cases a day at the lowest point a few weeks ago to now where we're seeing 500 new cases being diagnosed every day. But I think that what Dr. Myberg said in the little piece before I came on air is that we're really seeing that the vaccines that Israel has administered to most of its citizens are really playing a part, and that people are not becoming seriously ill in spite of the fact that there are more and more people being diagnosed with the Delta variant. And so people are now saying it's not really about the number of new cases. It's all about the number of seriously ill people. And fortunately, that number, although it has increased very, very slowly and not proportionately to the number of new cases that are being diagnosed. The other thing that the coronavirus cabinet decided yesterday was that they might expand the list of countries where Israeli individuals are really not allowed to travel to. Currently, the list includes Argentina, Brazil, India, Mexico, Russia, and South Africa. There is also a second list, which is that people are being warned about traveling to those countries, so not prohibited as such, but a travel warning is in place. Those countries include Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ethiopia, Maldives, Namibia, Nepal, Paraguay, Seychelles, Tunisia, Uganda, United Arab Emirates, and Uruguay. These lists are updated every 2 weeks, but the idea is that these lists are likely to be expanded with more countries being added to those lists in order to warn people about traveling to those countries. There is quite a lot of discussion about at what point booster jabs might be administered. There was talk about doing it only during the course of 2022. There was then talk about perhaps accelerating the boosters to administer them a little bit earlier, perhaps during the fourth quarter of this. Clinical studies being undertaken out there to measure how well people are doing who have received their vaccinations, say at the beginning of this current year, and to what extent they still have antibodies. Those studies are continuing and there are no definitive results, but certainly there is a lot of talk now about when the boosters might be administered.
Pretty clear that there does seem to be a need for it. We don't have a lot of time, but just tell us about Chana Senesh.
So, yeah, the story about Chana Senesh, we mentioned it earlier in the week. IDF paratroopers will be joining some sort of a ceremony where they will be joined by other parachutists from other countries in Europe to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the birth of Chana Senesh. And perhaps some of the kids who are listening and who are not familiar with the story of Chana Senesh might want to go out and have a look at it. It's a very fascinating story about a young girl from Hungary who experienced anti-Semitism in her home, in her upbringing, and decided to immigrate to Israel. And then she decided to join the Haganah, and she volunteered to join a parachuting special operations group where they were parachuted into Europe during the course of the Second World War, towards the end of the Second World War, in order to try to beef up the anti-Nazi sentiment and activities that were being undertaken by Jewish and other partisan groups. Unfortunately, when she tried to cross into her home of Hungary, they were parachuted into the former Yugoslavia. And then when she tried to cross into Hungary, she was accosted, she was arrested, she was interrogated and even tortured. She never let any information altitude in the course of being tortured that unfortunately she didn't survive that and she passed away while in prison. And this is now to commemorate the heroism of that young girl. She was also a poet, and a number of her poems are still out there and well known. A fascinating story, 100 years since she was born, and quite a number of parachuters from various countries, including Croatia and including the UK and a number of other countries, will be joined by Israeli parachutists, Hungary as well, to commemorate this event.
Absolutely incredible. Anthony Reich, it is 8:01. I wish you a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll chat to you on Monday morning.